everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 436, the Noise Edition here at the Caffeination Podcast, or rather the Noise Edition, in case you couldn't figure that out. We are trying to get back on schedule. We figured the best way to do that is actually record a show, and we were supposed to, so we'll see if this works out for the best. We're actually attempting to do a live show over at live.caffeination.com. If you head on over there most Wednesday nights, there should be a show. I'm not saying that there's definitely going to be, but we're doing our very, very best to make sure that there is. The Caffeination Podcast is the home of all the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. We kind of try and spread the news around. We like to try and dabble in all the different little bits of interesting content that are out there. So, yeah, you're pretty much going to find a little bit of everything on the show. Today's show is going to have stuff about Legos. It's going to have stuff about all kinds of crazy different things. Who knows where we're going to end up? I do know what stories we're supposed to talk about, but who knows if they're actually going to get done. All right, we have a great show lined up for you today. There is a whole plethora of stuff in both the Geekcraft and in the Food and Caffeinated Bits. So I think the only way to properly do this upright is to actually just get out there and do it. So we're gonna just dive right on in. The Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Us and all the other member shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content, and everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. We would like to thank the fine folks over at GoToMeeting because they are the sponsor for today's show. I'm just going to lay a little thing out here for you. You have important business contacts that are all over the planet. They're from the West Coast to the East Coast, even beyond. And what you really would like to do is meet with everybody a little bit more often, but traveling is incredibly expensive and time consuming, so there's a whole bunch of easier ways to do things now. That's why I started using GoToMeeting to hold my meetings online. GoToMeeting, which is brought to you by Citrix, is the easiest online meeting service out there. Simply set up a meeting in advance or start one on the fly. Everyone logs on to GoToMeeting and can see your desktop on their screen. It's just like meeting in person. It has phone and voice over IP conferencing included, all with the same low price of $49 a month for unlimited meetings. I've used GoToMeeting. It's unbelievable about the different things that you can do, the seamless transfers between presenters, and just the ease of use and setup. So really, I would highly suggest you head on over there and check it out. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. GoToMeeting has been a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. I'd like to thank them for their support for all these times. It's been fantastic to work with a company as awesome as them. All right, we have an interesting show lined up for you. As I said, we have all kinds of crazy stuff that's happening out there. And if you head on over to podcastmadness.com, which is another one of the things that we're currently involved in, there's going to be a very special code word that you're going to hear on today's episode a little bit later on. We're not just doing the code word up front and personal. We're also trying to make sure that it's spread around here. But the idea behind Podcast Madness is that a whole bunch of podcasters got together to kind of pool their prizes. And it's the summer of podcasts. It's a great way to not only share the different podcasts that you enjoy and find all the different ones that are out there, but to also, you know, kind of win prizes, have fun, just to kind of enjoy the idea of having, you know, this stuff out there right now. So that's what the summer of podcasts is all about. So we have a bunch of really cool stuff. There's a whole bunch of really fun shows that are involved. I mean, from the Moxie Mo Show, PCR Tech News, Photo Walkthrough, SDR News, Sports Unleashed, Tech Talk, Svenska, Technorama, the Caffeination Podcast, the Force Field. There's a ton of other shows listed over at podcastmadness.com, and the secret code word for this week that you can go over there, enter in, and it gives you a chance to win any one of the number of prizes that are out there is green, G-R-E-E-N. That's right, it's green. I'm going to remind you once more at the end of the show. It's the same code word, just twice in the same show, but, you know, it's kind of a our way of saying thank you to listening to the podcast, and everybody is eventually going to have their own code word, so you can head on over to the different shows on each one of the weeks as we get further into the contest, and everybody's going to have their own different code word to showcase. So that's the idea behind this. All right. The first thing we got up for you here in the GeekCraft section of the Caffeination News, this episode was originally going to be called Travel, because there's a lot of really cool and crazy stuff that's been floating around there. Philly cheesesteaks, flavored coffee, helping others, there's a whole bunch of really cool things that have been happening. And the funny thing is, after I started talking about the cheesesteaks on the past episode, I think two or three episodes ago, I've had people coming out of the woodwork asking me about where the best place to go in Philadelphia, the entirety of Philadelphia, to get a good cheesesteak. Now, I'm going to tell you my opinion of where the best place to go for cheesesteaks is in the entirety of Philadelphia. There's a place called Campos. It's at 2nd and Market. If you're familiar with Philadelphia, you know that that's an old city. Campos is not what you would expect from a traditional cheesesteak place. They're relatively small. Their steaks are unbelievable. So if you are unaware of what a cheesesteak is, imagine a long sub roll, or if you're in the Philadelphia area, you know, but we call them hoagie rolls. You imagine a long, soft roll. The steak is actually usually cut very, very thin, chopped up on a grill, and then cheese or fried onions is added on top of it, mixed in there, thrown on the roll, and then you eat it kind of hunched over so you don't get anything on you. It's fantastic. It's utterly horrible for you, and it is just so good. Everybody seems to suggest that people, when they're in Philadelphia, should go to Pat's or Gino's. They're the original two places that made cheesesteaks here in Philadelphia. My experience with them, having lived in Philadelphia all my life, is that those cheesesteaks are relatively small. They're relatively overpriced because that's where everybody goes there. Everybody sends all the tourists. It is an experience to go down there, but if you want a good cheesesteak, go to Campos. Go to Jim's on South Street. There's so many other places out there. Experience just like a tiny little hole-in-the-wall place. You're going to get a better cheesesteak there than you will at Pat's or Gino's or any of the other huge tourist traps out there. So as your own kind of little guide to Philadelphia, I just saw recently, as of today, the Philadelphia Inquirer posted that there's a self-guided tour of the Philadelphia murals available by cell phone and podcast. I thought this is fantastic. For those of you who don't know, Philadelphia is basically the center city of Philadelphia, and some of the outlying areas around that area are actually covered with murals. There's a lot of really big blank sides of buildings, and as part of a plan to beautify the city, people can request and put a permit in, and basically the Graffiti Arts Foundation goes out and paints sometimes gorgeous murals all across the city. And there's usually a story behind each one. Some of them are really kind of crazy and off the wall. Others are community activists. And they're now putting out a series of podcasts and cell phone tours so that you can walk around the city and find out exactly what it is that you're looking at. So I thought this was really cool. I wanted to share the link over to the Philly Inquirer. So there you go, and here we are. All right, now the next little thing that we got up for you here is from over at the wonderful website of ogizmo.com. They have something called the Traveler's Phrasebook T-shirt. Now, I am a big fan of trying to learn the language when you travel, except I am horrible at learning languages. So this may or may not be why I haven't traveled nearly as much as I would like to. Well, that and, you know, the apparent lack of funds to do so. But it's really kind of interesting when you see some of the guides and the tip books that you've seen given out to tourists. So this would be a little bit more helpful. This Traveler's Phrase Book is actually a interesting way of kind of using international symbols as a way of showcasing what you need. So on the shirt, it has a big question mark, and then things you can point to, like phone, bathroom. I can't tell what the bottom thing is. It looks a little bit like lottery, a place to eat, the hospital. I mean, it's all these kind of cool things that are out there, and it's only $20. So it's not really that bad nor really that expensive. I just thought it was relatively cool, so I wanted to share with the group. All right, moving right along to the next little thing that we got for you here. The World Cup is happening right now, so for those of you who don't know, and you know, this is probably very, very few of you, it's a giant international soccer tournament or football tournament, depending on where you happen to be. So there are a couple fun things that are happening right now. First of all, since there's so many games going on at any given point in time during the day, you can watch the entire World Cup online, and I put a link over to the Lifehacker article that we talked about. So depending on which geolocational area you are in, you can watch the World Cup in a different way. So there you go, and here we are. But that kind of is a little bit interesting when you take into account that there's a particular instrument that is kind of invading South Africa right now. And it's been there before, but it's kind of the bane of international soccer aficionados who were unaware of exactly how annoying it could be. There's something called the Vuvuzela, or I'm probably mispronouncing it, but TV announcers are getting irritated with it. Everybody's getting irritated with it, except for the people of South Africa, who consider it part of their culture. That's how they enjoy soccer games. So the entirety of the game basically has this noise behind it. Let me see. I was actually thinking about doing the entire podcast with that noise behind it, just to exactly see how irritating it was, but I didn't think anybody would continue to listen to the show. So when you take that was only one horn, and that was actually from an application. There's a free app on the Android platform that you can get called the Virtual Vuvuzela, and if you would like to irritate your friends, family, coworkers, whatever, then you can do that. You can do it in a meeting just to show how enthused you are, which I would actually pay to see. However, there's a bunch of people that have actually found out through creative use of EQ, equalizing, they found out how to silence the Vuvuzelas in the World Cup broadcasts. They cannot, as of yet, do it live. However, if you are taping something on your computer, there's a way to actually mute certain spectrums of the audio to actually remove the drone. And this is just unbelievable. There's actually an example that they have up there. It's a video. I'm not going to showcase the entire thing, but they found out that unfortunately it kind of mutes the entire broadcast, so it sounds like you're listening to it through a waterfall. But if you duck out your EQ at 465 hertz and 235 hertz, then you're going to be able to actually listen to most of the game without hearing that one singular tone. So the cool thing about these things is that since they are a one-note wonder, they all produce almost the exact same note. So no matter how people are playing them, you should be able to basically filter that out through creative audio. Over at the Book of Joe, they actually have how to do this on a Samsung TV. I assume if you can do that, then you can actually take it out live. I don't have a Samsung upstairs. I'm not sure if I have the one downstairs is a good way to do it, but I'm watching most of them online anyway because most of them are happening during the day. So it's kind of fun to sit there, have it on one screen while you're doing all your stuff and work. It can kind of just go on in the background. I gotta say, when the games first started, I was really kind of irritated by the instruments, and I actually had to turn the first game off that I watched. But however, they've kind of faded into the background now, and I guess it's no more irritating than anything else. So we'll see exactly where this goes from here. I just wanted to kind of showcase with that and help people with that. The funny thing I did notice about the World Cup this year is that there's a lot of people out there actually using the nicknames for the teams as opposed to the actual team names. And I only heard this on a couple teams for the last World Cup, and I know that for some reason nicknames seem to be in vogue, so I just wanted to have a kind of a little showcase piece out there in case you were curious about all the different teams that were in the tournament, the different 32 teams that were out there, and their particular nicknames. I have a link up in the show notes just in case you'd like to see it. And just because I'm the generous guy that I am, I also have a wonderful link from over at from Norbert Davis over at the Totally Cool Tech Podcast over at totallycooltech.com. A little Lego salt in the UK's wounds. You too can relive the match from the USA versus England via Lego stop motion animation. So I'm just going to send you a link over to that to the to the YouTube page if you'd like to watch it. I actually think it's really cool to see some of the stuff that they've done that, so I thought that was pretty fun. All right, now the next little thing is actually a little bit of a listening exercise as well. This is called a little swing music. Now there's an application somebody's actually built from a website over called musicmachinery.com called The Swinger. Now what The Swinger does is it takes any kind of music and actually adds a extra beat and time stretches the first half of each beat. So basically you can turn turn any song into a swing song. Now, I thought this was pretty interesting, so I wanted to try it with a couple of the ones that they had out there. They have pretty much, you know, iconic, you know, hard rock and metal songs that just, it completely changes the way they sound. So, if just for instance, this is actually Enter Sandman by Metallica when run through the swinger. Let's see if it actually plays. And, of course, it's not going to play now. There's probably too much stuff happening in the background. All right, so basically, it kind of puts like a little lilting dance around the music there. So I just want to put that out there and showcase it in case you want to enjoy it. Of course, nothing actually works when we're doing things live. All right, moving right along. How about a little stop-motion Paper Mario? Yeah, that's the game that they have going on over at boingboing.com. This is a little bit old, but, you know, hey, it's no less awesome. There's a group of students over in Japan who actually are presented during one of their school festivals an entire sprite-based animation of Super Mario running around the school collecting coins, stomping on Koopas, jumping on Goombas, doing the whole nine yards. The only thing is he actually missed the mushroom, unfortunately, and dies at the end. But everything is done with post-it notes. So it is unbelievable, and it's kind of a neat little take on what would happen if a 2D Mario attempted to conquer the 3D world in which we live in. So I highly suggest you head on over there and just check that out. There's a little bit of discussion in the comments about whether or not the students actually used post-its for every single thing. I think they did. I just think they actually did glue them in as sprites. So for every motion when Mario was running, for instance, there would be something where it would go back and forth, and you know, there'd be like one sprite that was ready made with his legs wide open, another one where his legs are close together. I mean, that's how, you know, normal stop motion animation is done. It's not like they're trying to do the claymation or anything. I just thought it was interesting to play around with. All right. Okay, moving right along to the next little thing. Again, another awesome bit of Mario news that's out there. This one is a little bit older than the other story even, but this is an electric guitar that's shaped like a Koopa Troopa. Imagine the body of an electric guitar actually moved down, turned around, and shaped like a Koopa. The only weird thing about it is that rather than having the Koopa interact with the guitar's neck or do anything like that, they actually have it just, you know, basically the guitar coming out of the Koopa's nose for some reason. I can't really pick out why they would do that. And then they said, of course, any good noodler, if they're playing around on the guitar or anything, would have to learn how to at least play the first couple notes for Mario Brothers. So, you know, they would sound a little something like this. I'm getting a little bit quicker in doing it. Who knows if it'll actually advance anywhere beyond that. My guitar does not look like the Koopa Troopa, but I just thought it was kind of fun to share that with the group. But hey, you know what? There's a lot of really cool stuff out there right now. All right, moving right along, next little bit of awesome that we got out for you is a Moleskine Kindle case. Another great way to hide your tech. Now, there's two basic problems with having really shiny, really awesome tech everywhere. The first thing is that it's really shiny, really awesome tech. It kind of needs a cover. If you're going to drop it or do something else untoward with it, you run the risk of damaging your really shiny tech. The other thing is that you run the risk of other people seeing your really shiny tech. For instance, if you have an iPad, if you have an iPhone, if you have a Droid, if you have something else, and you're, you know, basically showing it off and you're throwing it around in other people's faces, there's a larger chance that somebody might see it. You know, out of sight, out of mind is always a little bit better. So this is a Moleskine case that actually has two really awesome things. On the one hand, it has the place for you to actually stick the Kindle, which is pretty cool. And on the other hand, it actually has a sketch pad on the inside so that you can take notes while you are reading whatever it happens to be that you're reading. Now, the one thing I was actually really disappointed about with the iPad is that there doesn't seem to be a lot of fine work that you can do with a stylus or something else like that where you could actually do sketching or something on it. Because I think that would be the absolute perfect, this would be a perfect case for like an iPad where you could actually have like the sketch notes on one side and do something else fun on the other side. Who knows, maybe they will in the future, but I'm not holding out hope. All right, and this is the next little article that we have from over at RoDesign.com from Mike Rohde. He is an unbelievable artist who has a real gift for turning information into beautiful sketches and teaching people via these sketches. It's something I would aspire to actually be able to do. And it's something that, you know, through practice you can get better, but he definitely has a massive amount of talent to make whatever project he's working on that much easier. So if you want to head on over to his site, he actually has basically a sketchbook sketch kit available, so you can have all the different things that he has in his Moleskin kit that allow him to do his little sketch tunes. It's kind of interesting to see how other people work. I don't have all this stuff when I go around sketching. I'm nowhere near as prolific as Mike is, but I do notice one thing that Mike has said a couple times, and it's something that, you know, bears repeating again and again and again. If you would like to actually learn how to do this kind of stuff, if you'd like to actually get better at producing really good visual content, you need to constantly do it. You need to constantly update it, and you need to just sketch a little bit each day. By sketching a little bit each day and having like a certain routine that you go through by doing this, you're going to get better over time. You may never get to the point where, you know, every piece of art that you do is gorgeous, but, you know, on the other hand, you might get to a point where you develop your own little fun style. So I'd like to thank Michael from over at I Need Coffee. Coffee.com, because he sent me in this next thing, which is a based on both of our love for sketched lectures and everything. This is an entire sketched lecture from over at the RSA. This is a beautiful run through by a professor named Phyllis Zimbrato, who actually is talking about perspectives and how different things change when it affects your work, your health, and your well-being, and time influences who we are as a person and a whole bunch of other different things. And it's all about relationships, and the entire lecture is narrated out by this fast forward sketching, which it is really, really hypnotic on watching. And if you've ever seen any of the Common Craft stuff, where the, you know, it's like Twitter in plain English or any of the other things, it's similar to that, but a lot smoother because everything's done on a whiteboard. So I just wanted to kind of head you on over to that. If you have a little bit of time, 10 minutes, for instance, then you can head on over there and check that out. Or if you just want to see a little bit of interesting sketching, then you can see the one of the concept designs for a poster / flyer that we're working on for PodCamp Philly. I did the who, what, when, where, why, and how for PodCamp Philly. The who is the you. The what is a new media unconference learning from each other. The when is October 2nd and 3rd. Where is Temple University? And how is always going to be up to you. So it's listed over at Flickr. I don't know if anybody's actually going to enjoy it, but I just put it out there because it's something that I'm working on right now. I'm working on a lot of really fun and cool stuff. I'm not sure if it's actually going to go through at this point. I'm trying to do some more propaganda posters. If you've ever seen any of my work, then you know that I have a great affinity for a lot of the different styles of propaganda posters that are out there. So I'm trying to showcase more of that style in some of the stuff that we're doing for PodCamp Philly. So if you're curious about what it actually looks like, then if you can head on over to this. If everything works out, then this is going to be up over at the Tech Podcasts live stream, the techpodcast.tv, rather. complete brain... brain cloud on today. Every once in a while I get the right thought out, but, you know, then I got nothing. But it's a really simple sketch tune, and it's only the first couple things that we're actually going to do. But, you know, it's the start, and even the most simple thing that you're working on really can kind of flower into something a little bit more awesome. So I'm getting to the point where I'm capable of sharing the junk sketches, and hopefully you'll be able to see the process that goes from actually having a poor sketch that becomes something awesome in the end. So that's what we're trying to do. Don't know if I'm actually going to get to actually do the awesome parts. So, all right. Next little thing that we have up for you here is, what do the Mona Lisa and Star Trek have in common? Well, nothing really, except for the fact that there's an art show out there that's actually finding a way to mix these two fun flavors together. So you have 31 flavors of crazy geek when you're looking at this. From over at technobob.com, basically they took the ever-present image of the Mona Lisa and her slight smirk, and they kludged together some Star Wars reference, or Star Trek references, rather, on top of it. There's one where they have the Mona Lisa dressed as a Klingon, which I actually think is relatively well done, and then the other one where she's dressed in a red shirt. And, you know, it's... it's interesting. There's Federation Lisa and Klingon Lisa. They're created apparently by two entirely different people. The best part about the Klingon Mona Lisa is that the background, rather than being the stock background from the existing Mona Lisa, is actually a Klingon-esque background. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then the last little piece that they have is Princess Leia going Star Wars with the blaster. That one I think is a little bit less true to form. I don't think it's actually as well done as the other two, but I still had to share it nonetheless. I thought it was pretty cool. All right, moving right along, staying with Technobob, however, the last little bit of information we got for you in the Geekcraft section here is a designer Lego buffet table. So, I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little weirded out by some of the stuff that people are producing by Legos. I never thought that I would ever see, massive amounts of furniture actually done in the glorious bricks. But there's a couple of Netherlands-based designers who came up with a rather stark buffet table that looks a little bit like it's inspired by Mondrian, but with all the squares and the lines and everything, except it's all monochrome. It's all beige and black. So it's pretty cool. It's apparently a completely working buffet table. There's drawers that slide out, there's doors that open, and there's a ton of Legos that went into making it. So there you go, and here we are. So I just wanted to pass it along to the group because it is just that awesome. All right, that about wraps it up for the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination. We have a bunch of other fun stuff to talk about in the food and caffeinated bits. Just a reminder, we are lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure that out. Being the Caffeination podcast, we figured it would kind of be a easy place to go. All right, let's see what we got here. The first little thing, as of July 1st, the Wi-Fi in Starbucks is going to be free. So we're putting this into the food and caffeinated bits because Starbucks, hey, it's all about the coffee. So there's a culture surrounding cafes where people feel the need to go out and actually be seen working. So I've never actually been a cafe worker myself, so it's kind of interesting to see people kind of collaborate and kind of jump in together and all work in the same place and be seen writing, as some of the authors would say. But it's kind of interesting to see that Starbucks is now allowing this for free. Now, there's a backlash that's actually happening against this because people are now saying, okay, what was your justification for making people pay for all this time up until now, and now why are you making it free? What's the catch, basically? So we don't really know what exactly it is, except for Starbucks is trying to attract more customers. They're trying to really move beyond the doldrums that have affected the company for the past two years, I would say. And with the return of Howard Schultz, then he's trying to find ways to reinvent the image of Starbucks. So that's why they're doing this. So it's kind of interesting to see that they're actually going the route of making free Wi-Fi. Now, if they would only, level off a couple of the other things, who knows? The next little thing is also from Starbucks. I don't know if you were aware of this. There's a social media application called Foursquare. Foursquare allows you to check in via geolocation, GPS, whatever it is, global positioning systems, and say that I am here. And if you have the most check-ins at a specific location, you are that location's mayor. Starbucks was the first company to come forth and say that, hey, if you are the mayor of our location, then you will get a promotional dollar off your coffee or whatever it happened to be. I think it was interesting. However, the penetration of this promotion seems to have fallen on deaf ears with a couple of the different Starbucks baristas out there. So people either didn't know about the promotion, or the title of mayor was so elusive in certain areas because the employees themselves were checking in to not necessarily to actually remove the ability for other people to check in somewhere, but more along the lines of it's everybody wants to be the mayor of where they work. I'm the mayor of where I work. I mean, it's just kind of interesting. So the the funny thing about it is that there's so many different stories about this, and it was so widely publicized about, you know, hey, that they're doing this great and unbelievable cool thing with geolocation, that it really kind of is saddened. I'm saddened to see that it's actually not as widespread, as uniform as it could be. Hey, you know what? I have no problems with them doing what they're doing if they can kind of clear it out. Hey, that's all the better for everybody else. I actually think they should give something small, like 50 cents off just for checking in at a location. Rather than trying to compete for mayor or something like that, if you can show that you were on Foursquare and you checked in at a location, 50 cents off a cup or 25 cents off, something small, but something just to acknowledge the fact that, yes, you are a frequent enough customer that you are there and you're proud enough to tell people that you are there. I think that would be a little bit better of a promotion. Of course, it would probably cost them a ton more money than a dollar off for every one person who happens to be the mayor of a specific location. All right, so there's all that. Now, the next little thing we have, again, is from over at lifehacker.com. This is a really, really cool infographic, and I just had to share it, and it actually directly deals with cooking, which is why it's in the food and caffeinated bits. This is an easy graphic. If you are using the imperial measurement system, which is gallons versus liters, then people constantly ask the question, how many cups are in a pint? How many quarts are in a gallon? This is a one-stop shop using typography to actually answer this question. There's a giant G. There's four Q's inside of that. In each Q, there's two P's, and inside each P, there's two C's. So it means there's two cups in a pint, two pints in a quart, four quarts in a gallon, and there you go. It's the simplest way of actually visualizing that tiny little metric, and you can actually see this expanding into other areas where it's like, okay, well, fine, you could do inches in a foot in a yard, and you could go all the way out, and I think it would be kind of fun. The volume measurement probably lends itself a little bit more to doing this, but you know, I could definitely see this, so I thought that was a pretty cool one to share with the group. All right, now there's a great little concept design from over at yankodesign.com. It's a fake iPhone app that allows you to use a coffee maker, which is styled to look similar to a Mac, to make coffee. Now, it's a single-serving coffee maker. It says, make coffee, beauty outside, taste inside. I love some of the concept designs that are being pushed out there. Some of them are just really off the wall and kind of awesome, and this is no less awesome than any of the other ones I've seen recently. The funny thing about it is that they actually pulled a lot of the design cues direct from the Power Mac towers or the G5 towers. They're kind of a standard, except they didn't quite get the bends on the actual handles right, so they're not entirely dead on accurate, but it's still pretty cool. All right, now, with all the negative news that Starbucks has had in this particular podcast, it's kind of awesome to see some positive stuff. I have a great review that I wrote this past week because the fun people over at Starbucks actually sent me free coffee. Now, I'm not one to turn down free coffee. They said this is a new type of coffee called Natural Fusions. I am constantly railing against artificially flavored coffee. I hate flavored syrups. I do not like doing anything other than putting a little dash of cinnamon on something or maybe a little vanilla extract in something. Now, I like using natural ingredients to actually create the flavors that I would like to add to my coffee, and it's very rare that I actually add flavor to my coffee. So I was intrigued when this came across the bow. Basically, they use real vanilla, they mix it with you know, like dried orange peels and sarsaparilla and all these other kind of crazy flavors to get in there and actually enhance the coffee. So they gave me three different kinds of coffee. Currently, there's only one review out. They gave me vanilla, they gave me cinnamon, and they gave me caramel. Now, caramel's going to be the last one. Cinnamon's actually due out tomorrow, and vanilla is the one that I published today. Vanilla is my favorite out of the group by far. It is an unbelievable experience, really. I've never thought that I would actually say, yes, I would buy flavored coffee, but this flavored coffee, when you cold brew it, is so completely and utterly refreshing. It is a equally balanced vanilla and a coffee flavor. It tastes nothing of chemicals. It tastes like you're eating vanilla beans ground up with your coffee. The only detractor from this entire thing, well, there's two small detractors. The only big detractor is that it comes pre-ground because they have to grind the natural flavor elements in with it. This is good for one thing. If you've ever tried to add your own spices to coffee, you can do two things. You can either add them to the actual cup, and then in which case you have a bunch of dust floating on top of your coffee if you're trying to shake it a little cinnamon or something. Or if you add the cinnamon or the vanilla or whatever it is to the grounds, then you can kind of get clumps of flavor that happen up there if you don't necessarily have them mixed in well. So I just wanted to show this because I thought it was unbelievable. I tried it with a French press, with a drip brewed, and with the cold brewed. The French press made it a little bit bitter. It wasn't really as enjoyable as the other two, but cold brewed was unbelievable. So if you like flavored coffee, you will love this. If you don't like flavored coffee, but you like adding stuff in there and kind of playing around with how coffee should actually taste, then you should check this out as well. It's really cool. All right. Over at dailyshotofcoffee.com, they actually have a whole bunch of new cold toddies, iced toddies, Kahlua's new shake on what iced coffee would be. I like these. They have things like the Milky Way, the Javatini, and the Shaken Not Stirred. There's a whole bunch of other fun plays on iced coffee out there. I have to actually get out and try some of these with the Kahlua. The only thing is, I like the coffee liqueurs that are actually a little bit more pure to coffee as opposed to cream. And Kahlua is kind of, I don't know what it is. Kahlua always seems to lend itself better to creamy drinks to me than to actually like drinking it over the rocks. However, with like a triple espresso vodka or something like that, you can drink that over the rocks and it tastes unbelievable. So this is the time of the year for cocktails, and there you go. All right, and the last little thing that we got for you here in the Caffeination Podcast is a great concept from over at Yanko Design one more time. This one is actually called the it's called the Illusion for Hot Chocolate. It's basically a take on a single-serving coffee machine, but used to create hot chocolate instead. Basically, you drop a disc of chocolate into these things. The little crucible actually melts the chocolate. And then there's a frother wand that actually sticks down into a glass of milk. The milk is frothed. The chocolate is melted and poured in. And then you yourself have a fantastic hot chocolate. I love this idea. I've actually used frothed milk and actually frothed up chocolate milk just to show it to my son, and he loves it when I make like the really true hardcore chocolate milk out there. Like when we make a hot chocolate in our house, we do it upright, all right? All right, that about wraps it up here for today's Caffeination. There's a couple other little stories if you head on over to caffeination.com about what dads deserve for good coffee. So I wanted to kind of leave them in the show notes since this is Father's Day this weekend. To all the fathers that are out there, congratulations, happy fathering, and hopefully everybody's having a good day or a good weekend on that. All right, that about wraps it up here. Thank you ever so much for listening. We're trying to do the live show repeated. It's been kind of a hit and miss. I really don't know how to explain it other than that. So thank you ever so much for stopping by, and stay caffeinated, people.